Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Brady's going to take it. Touchdown. Brees able to step into this one. This one's up for grabs and picked.
And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game. Only Andy Reid gets a shotgun on fourth and eight.
Dale Arnold.
And the Green Bay Packers moving on to the NFC Championship.
Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson.
And now they are going to the AFC Championship.
Rich Keith,
you guys put a little extra something on the game?
I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny.
Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
It's Mary Proppins
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, good morning and welcome in to Dale and Keith with Fitzy. No Dale today, just Keith and Fitzy the day after the NFL divisional round. You can join the program today at 617-779-7937. You can tweet at us at Dale Keith WEEI. You can stream the show anywhere on WEEI.com or the radio.com app. Fitzy, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Rich. What a weekend of football. What a weekend of sports. Where were you when the Celtics got their doors blown off by the Knicks on Sunday?
As Obi Toppin is going down the lane for a two-handed monster slam. Yeah, that was a brutal, forgettable game there. But
I will ask you this.
Yes.
Would you not karmically pay, and I know this is what everyone is dying for, 4 hours of hot Celtics talk after an incredible, memorable divisional round weekend. Mm-hmm. Would you not pay for Friday night's victory in the Taco Fall 3, even though it was only a 2, karmically with a 30-point loss to the Knicks?
Give him a 3. I don't know why Brad didn't challenge that. See if he can maybe get a 3 there. Taco. that was their big problem yesterday. Is you had no taco. You had no way to clog up the lane there. That was the big problem. But Fitzy, did you have yourself a divisional round weekend? Did you take it all in? Did you soak it all up?
Every single stinking second of it. I couldn't get enough. And my biggest takeaway from a memorable, delicious, wonderful, action-packed divisional weekend was we had some, I wouldn't say shocking outcomes, but there was no signature great game from any of the 8 starting quarterbacks. In fact, I'll remember this divisional weekend for all of the wonky quarterback play, the insertion of multiple backups, and if anything, the weekend was stolen by Chad Henne, Jameis Winston, and some guy named Huntley.
Huntley. I was like, who is this gentleman who's out there playing quarterback? Yeah, we saw a lot of backups, and nobody lit it up. And you know, you look at the Bucks-Saints game, like, oh, the battle of this Hall of Famers and the old guys. Yeah, they looked like old guys. Like, neither one of them could get in sync. Drew Brees obviously can't throw the ball more than 6 yards. Tom Brady was not on the same page with any of his receivers. I mean, Gronk had one catch. Evans had one catch. Antonio Brown had one catch. If it wasn't for their defense, who knows how many points the Bucks would have scored. I'm with you. I guess Aaron Rodgers probably had the best game out of wasn't, you know, it wasn't otherworldly. It wasn't one of these crazy video game performances, but he probably had the cleanest game. Patrick Mahomes was putting up all right numbers, but then obviously he goes down with the concussion. How about a speed option there? What are you running speed option with Patrick Mahomes for?
And I don't even think he was concussed because in the replay, the person who should have been concussed was Rashard Higgins after Sorensen. Yep. I mean, I could do 2 hours on why that is the stupidest rule.
Oh, my God.
And not just football, all professional sports. I can't hate the hateable face of that stupid rule in the NFL that it comes back out at the 20 and that you can't review a penalty right. or what should have been a penalty.
Is that but the Mahomes one was not concussed. Thing in football that everybody agrees on, you think? The fumble through the back of the end zone should not be the defense's ball at the 20. I feel like everybody agrees on that except for whoever wrote the rule.
Right, I'm sure there's a Hockley or a Blandino out there who's like,
what would you do, by the way? What would you do? What would be the right play if you were rewriting the rule? What would happen?
Offense gets the ball at the 20.
At the 20, not yeah. So it's a 20-yard penalty.
It's you retain the ball because if you fumble out of bounds anywhere over the 100 yards of field of play, you get the ball back where the ball goes out, except through the end zone. It's automatically there. I hate that rule.
It's so stupid because it's not like the defense recovered it. Like, they just knocked it out, and the ball goes squirting out. And that is – you can't have more of a momentum swing, really, in football than that.
No, not only is that a massive momentum swing, but the fact that Kansas City got the ball illegally infuriates me further. Like, the poor man could have been knocked out. Like, that's the same kind of hit that Vontaze Burfict laid on Antonio Brown in that wild card round years ago, and I still think that's half of what knocked a screw loose in Antonio Brown. Sorensen could have killed the man, and that his reward for making an illegal spear tackle, that's targeting in college, they can review it, his ass would get tossed right out of the game. In the NFL, the reward, Chiefs get the ball at the 20. Yeah,
they pick and choose the helmet to helmet, I feel like. Pick and choose, because like somebody's like, oh, see, obviously a clear case here, and then other times they just completely ignore it. But yeah, the point on the quarterbacks, kind of like not great, you know. I mean, we spent so much time going into it being like, hey, like 8 of the 12 best quarterbacks or whatever the number, I think it was like 7 of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league were all playing this weekend or whatever it was.
Yep.
And just nothing really got going. Like, the defenses were what shined. Like, a lot of these big offensive players were completely held in check. You have the pick six in the Bills game. You have a couple of big time defensive plays in the Tampa New Orleans game. And that's what did it. Like, that's what won these games, was all the defenses, which I did not expect, which I did not see coming. That's for sure.
Neither did I. I mean, there are a couple of, gutsy, memorable calls with, like, Andy Reid going for it on fourth down with Chad Henne in the shotgun. Henne. Oh, my God. Chad Henne, who, by the way, hadn't won a game since before John Anderson went through puberty. It's been 8 years.
2 weeks ago.
Eight years. Hello, John.
Hey, he won one last year, didn't he?
Kenny? No, Matt Moore was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They're the same person.
No, they're different people.
They're not the same. Yeah, because when
different social security numbers, different people.
Different looks. They both wear the same flannel that they got at Flag and Anthem through Instagram in the post game. But this was a weekend that'll be remembered for, like, you check the headlines on every sports website and even on EEI.com. I was reading the Andy Hart piece right before we went on. Like, everyone's going to remember, like, this is the weekend Drew Brees said farewell to the NFL. This is the weekend Tom Brady solidified his supreme all-time ultra goatness. It is an absurd stat that Tom Brady's been in the league 21 years and now 14 times he'll have gone to the conference championship, which means 2 out of every 3 seasons he's played, Brady goes to the conference championship.
But it's even better. It's even better than that, because there was the year he was hurt, and then the first year he wasn't even the starter, right?
Correct. Well, I'm just saying, like, in the in crazy. The 21 years. Yeah. So that's when he plays, it's like 14 out of 19, which is even more insane.
It's absolutely stupid.
That was like that. I felt like that was a game of, like, I'm not gonna say it was like a game of attrition between the two. It was just like, okay, who will play less crappy enough-ish to be able to have their team get the win? The best players on the field were
Devin White,
Leonard Fournette.
That guy is a monster. He is an absolute force out there.
Wow, is he good.
Just a killer. Just an absolute, he could do everything for you. He was so good. Their defense was so good. The longest touchdown drive by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was 40 yards.
40 yards.
Their 3 touchdown drives, in quotes, 40 yards, 20 yards, and 3 yards. So, I mean, this was all about their defense. And I'm not saying Brady deserves no credit, because they were able to take 3 of those turnovers and score touchdowns off of them. So, they didn't settle for field goals in those cases. They were able to, punch it in. But talk about short fields. I mean, there was nothing there. The Bucs were stymied, I would say. Could you call him stymied?
I would say frustrated, if not stymied.
And then
again,
Brady's just like chucking it deep. Nothing there.
Nothing there.
No results there. Got away with a couple of bad throws, too.
Uh-huh.
But I
got to say, for as mediocre as Brady was, again, his performance yesterday reminded me of like a 2003, 2004 Tom Brady. Like, just enough. Like, would miss a couple of throws, makes a couple when he needs to. Stat line, he completed like 65% of his passes, 199 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. So good enough. But for as good enough-ish as he was and as great as Devin White and Leonard Fournette, who I think just got himself a big old paycheck somewhere else next year with that game last night.
He looks like a different guy.
He looked the best he's looked all year.
Legs.
He just looks like a much
better
player.
Had he missed how many games? How long since he'd had significant action?
He had played a couple times this season. He played last week, too, because Ronald Jones was that hurt. And Bruce Arians said he, quote, liked the way Fournette ran.
No, Fournette was great against football team. And then this week again,
he wasn't that game.
He was good. But, yeah, Ronald Jones was the better player during the season.
All season long, basically.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He was really good.
The last time he had double-digit carries was week 15 against Atlanta.
Okay, so it had been a little while since he'd had something resembling significant impact in the game. But for as great as he was, Drew Brees was awful.
He stinks. He stinks now. He really does. I've always maintained that he is overrated. I just think he has a lot of yards, and people are like, ooh, look at all the yards. And he's good at playing inside. And you mentioned the conference championships that Brady has been to. Brady's been to 14 conference championships.
Correct.
Guess how many Drew Brees has been to?
I want to say
three.
Only three.
He is 1-2 in conference championship games.
And he's also lost 3 straight playoff games at home. Who does that?
Drew Brees does.
Name a better combo than Drew Brees and playoff losses. I'll wait.
He's now 500. He might end his career 500 in the playoffs, 9-9. Had that one Super Bowl run back in 2009, which seems like forever ago. He had a stretch at one point where he missed the playoffs 3 straight years and 4 out of 5 times. I just think it's blasphemous when he gets mentioned in the same group as like Brady, Manning, and even Aaron Rodgers. Like, Brees is not that good. And I know this is the end of his career, so you can't just take yesterday's game and be like, this is what he's been forever. But my point is, I've never been a huge, huge Drew Brees fan.
And to think, Rich, to think that when the NFL 100, the 100 greatest players in the history of the league came out and they named their 10 quarterbacks, to think that there was a whole hubbub, if not a to-do, if you
there
will.
There was
a hubbub and a to-do over the fact that Drew Brees was not in the top 10 quarterbacks.
Like,
you want to talk
about
how insulting would that have been? How blasphemous would that have been?
That would have been bad.
Losing 3 straight times, 500 in the playoffs, and he was bad. He helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yep.
He got wildly outplayed by Kirk Cousins last year in a wild card game. And then this year, he basically gift wraps the game to the Buccaneers with 3 picks, and he can't throw the ball further than 12 yards down the
field.
3
picks, and when they want to throw the ball downfield, they had to put in Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Which was a sick play, by the way.
That was a badass
play. Well.
that was the one play that woke me up during the game. Yeah. Otherwise, oh, wow, excitement, a touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, and also the kick return that got called back, too, but.
Yeah, that's true, and that guy was keeping them in the game, that was their best. You know, both teams, again, they needed like special teams or defense to move the ball for them because those two quarterbacks did not play well. But Brady gets the win, and so he is back in the conference championship game. And I know that the Brady v. Belichick discussion is always there. And I don't think you can end it, though, necessarily this season. Now, again, huge advantage Brady, but Belichick's not done. And one of the reasons why I think Kraft, at least when he had to choose between the two, probably made the right call, because don't you still think Belichick's going to be here longer than Brady's going to be in the league?
Oh, absolutely.
I do.
Bill Belichick's coaching for, unless the rebuild.
4 or 5 more years?
Yeah, unless the rebuild is an absolute disaster. Right. Belichick's here for, I think he's coaching for at least 5 more years. Whereas Brady, I could see playing 2 more years. I think he plays 1 more year beyond next year.
Yeah, that'd be 45, and that's what he's been saying for a while. Now, again, you can't watch Brady throw 40 touchdowns and Brady win 2 playoff games, even though he wasn't, lighting the scoreboard on fire himself, and think, why wouldn't they re-sign this guy a couple years ago? Why wouldn't they give him an extension? And they screwed that up. Like, that's my takeaway. And I know you were not rooting for Brady all season.
Nope.
And now you get into a situation where it was Brady versus Brees.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, Fitzy Stevens, rooting for the New Orleans Saints yesterday?
I was not.
Two
identities, one goal, to see Tom Brady go to an NFC championship because it's great for content.
Okay, so the content king took over there.
The lust for content.
The content machine murdered the fan.
Yes.
In this case. Okay.
I have retired it. I have made my ultimate and long-term peace with it. Last night, I came clean on the tweet machine. I just said, fine, I'll admit it. I absolutely hate seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform.
That's why
I've been so salty.
I am dead inside.
Thank you, Shy. Thank you, Johnny.
But I would say
I hate it. I'll just
so you
always
hate him
it.
In there. But do you blame him for that, or don't you blame Belichick for that?
We wouldn't see
Brady in any other uniform if it wasn't for Belichick.
I would say Belichick gets, you know, like when you get a pizza and
yes.
even though it's supposedly cut up into 8 pieces and they should all be even.
Are you going to give me a blame pie here?
Yeah. Belichick definitely took the three
10,
largest
15,
pieces.
John, do you have that? Blame pie?
Shime owes me 20.
Bill's not a big excuse maker.
No, he's not.
Belichick took the three largest pieces.
Yeah.
And then like Brady gets some like the kid size pieces and even and Kraft gets some too.
Like there's no pepperoni
Robert Kraft
in mine.
Is
yeah,
not
yeah,
blameless.
Sure.
Or Robert and Jonathan, whoever, if it was, you know, Robert just going over for the meeting and Jonathan actually kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes and crunching the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The Kraft family is not blameless in Brady's departure. He never should have left. And like we talked about Friday, like there's a very good chance if he stuck around this year. Who knows how things would have worked out had he been signed to a Drew Brees type of or Brady in Tampa Bay type of deal a couple of years ago. But he could have stuck around this year with the talent on this squad, gone 10-6 and missed the playoffs. So there's no way in hell that he regrets this decision in any way, shape, or form.
Huge win for him to get back to the conference championship. Now, I know there's going to be some that say, oh, he's got to get to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. I think where he's at right now, major, major victory for Brady. The regular season with the 40 touchdowns, the 11-5 record, that was a big win. But winning two playoff games for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 18 years, a huge, huge win for him. It's a big win. Like, I think just getting through the regular season healthy and putting up, I know he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but putting up Pro Bowl numbers, that's a big win for the TB12 brand. Like the, hey, I'm Benjamin Button, I can play forever. But for the Tom Brady v. Belichick thing, getting to the conference championship game, and I know he was a shell of himself, but you can still say beat Drew Brees and the Saints.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
Saints, they were 12-4. The Saints beat them twice in the regular season. So that is a legitimate win. And now I feel like it's kind of house money because if you lose to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay – there's not a ton of shame in that. Like, if you pull off that win, it just adds to the legacy, which is already off the charts. But if you lose to Green Bay, like, okay, you lost to the Packers. This was their year type of thing.
Rodgers is going to his fifth conference championship. The man is on an absolute heater this season. Mm-hmm. Going to win the MVP and should flat out be unanimous. I think the Packers have all the momentum. I like them next weekend. But for Brady, my argument was, or rather the point that I wanted to make for him was they needed to get to the conference championship for the Tampa Bay experiment to be a win. Like you said,
and it
the TB12 brand, that's what Andy Hart's article on WEI.com is like, Brady is proving his goatness now. And that's really, that's what he's in it for. And that's what he's doing. And he's right. He's 100% right on this. Tom Brady is padding his stats and further, you know, elevating himself over any and all quarterbacks playing at this age and compiling these statistics. But the Tampa Bay experiment is now a success that they have gone to the conference championship.
Well, and this is why we have to do Brady versus Belichick, because Brady versus any other quarterback is stupid. Like, there's nobody. And, like, the stat that he has more wins in the playoffs than Peyton Manning and Joe Montana combined, like, that alone, you're like, all right, so there's no more argument to be had. There's nothing. Like, you could say, at this point, Brady's had, I think the answer is probably three different Hall of Fame careers. Like, for the last few years, it was two. Like, you cut it in half. But you could do his first 7 years, his next 7 years, and then the next 7 years are all Hall of Fame caliber careers.
You could do entry to 2007. Then you could do the middle years where they don't, they only go to
one. Or I would even say till, oh, so do the 06 season. So you have three Super Bowls in there. No MVPs, but you have three Super Bowls. So he'd get in. Then you start with 07.
If Eli's going in on two, yeah, he is.
Yeah, definitely. Because then you have 07, you have the MVP season, the 50 touchdowns. Yep. And you could even take that up until like 14.
Take it to 13, because 14, okay, when Garoppolo gets drafted, Brady, yep, ups his game.
Right. And then 14, here come more Super Bowls.
Good God. Rich, you're the first person to ever say this, and it is a scorchingly terrific take. Tom Brady legitimately now can lay claim to having three Hall of Fame-worthy careers in the same career. What is he doing?
This is now the debate. Was 2014 to present Tom Brady better than Drew Brees, better than Aaron Rodgers, better than Peyton Manning? Was 07 to 13 better? Was 2000 to 2006 better? It's silly. And I think also, like, the best part, and I know we have all week to talk about it, but finally, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game.
Yes.
We should have had this Super Bowl like 3-4 times. I don't know how many years in a row I probably predicted in the preseason Patriots, Packers in the Super Bowl, and it never happened. And I know it's not a Super Bowl, but man, the fact that they get to go up against each other, I know they're both a little bit older, but they're both playing great. Rodgers has never played better, well, probably, and Brady has had maybe his – is this a top five season for Brady, would you say, or no?
Statistically, it's his second best season. No, I would say –
probably not.
No.
It's probably his third or fourth best season in his career.
You think so?
Yeah, no, with a brand new team and a brand new offense with people he's never played with before – absolutely.
It's an all-star. But Sean, this is what's going to make 2021.
Sorry, Keith.
Come on,
This is what, to me, this is what's going to make, and, you know, pointing to his stats yesterday, one point I just wanted to make, like, pointing to his stats yesterday and saying, like, it was an okay game, and I said earlier it was like a Tom Brady 2004 performance. It was okay. But back then, when the Patriots used to use mostly defense, opportunistic defense, and, like, mediocre Brady stats to beat the Colts, like, 20-3 or, like, 16-6, and advance to the Super Bowl or the conference championship, we celebrated it. And all we did was say, like, Tom Brady was so amazing, when in actuality, Ty Law was so amazing. Or the blueprint, blueprint was what was so amazing.
Oh, it's never just the quarterback, but they're the ones that we obviously end up focusing on.
Especially with a name as sexy and as historic as Tom Brady. But to me, Scheim, I would say, because this is an all-star team, and that's what's going to make 2021, when free agency eats away at the talent on the Tampa Bay roster, so fascinating. But I would say this is maybe, I don't know, maybe a fifth best season. Like, obviously it's 2007. 2014, 2016, and 2017, Tom Brady, I think, were all better. So maybe fifth best season overall.
I mean, even still, if it's a top five Tom Brady season of all time, that's a very damn good season. And I think it only gets better the more he wins. If he goes in and beats Rodgers next week, this goes up into the top three seasons. Like, I think you have to take not just stats, but the entirety of the season into account. That, like, if he's beating Drew Brees and he's beating Aaron Rodgers, and then if he somehow went on to a Super Bowl and beat Patrick Mahomes, hypothetically, it could be greatest Tom Brady runs he's had in ever.
In Tom Brady history. I think 07, 10, and 17 were his three MVP seasons.
Correct.
So those are all better. Now, this is one where I think is up for debate. 2006, the stats won't jump out at you. The stats might be some of the worst stats he's had, but that was also the worst offensive roster he ever played with. Well, maybe short of last season.
Yeah.
And he got that team to an AFC championship game and a lead in the second half of the AFC title game.
I mean, he was throwing to Rashe Caldwell, correct, Jabbar Gaffney, the ghost of Troy Brown, and Doug Gabriel for the first two-thirds.
And they went
the
12-4 and had a lead in the AFC championship game.
Though he was bailed out in the divisional round by one of the all-time heads-up plays by Troy Brown, stripping the ball from Marlon McCree. But still, the fact that he got them there in the first place, considering how gutted that roster was of talent, remarkable.
Yeah, pretty crazy. All right, so Tom Brady, we'll be talking about him throughout the entire day as the Bucs beat the Saints. Let's get into those other games as well. The Packers over the Rams, the Bills-Ravens game from Saturday night, and then the Chiefs hanging on to beat the Browns. We'll get to all that with you. You could join us at 617-779-7937. It is Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Hey, jump a party. Get in there and throw that football.
You always have to take things too far, don't you?
On WEEI.
Third and goal at the 9. Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone. Intercepted by Taron Johnson. And he brings it out. And he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40. The 30 gets a block at the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception. Touchdown, Buffalo! Buffalo!
Whoa! Buffalo Bills radio call as Taron Johnson. Yeah. Wow. Play of the game right there. We talk about how the defenses were really the story, not the quarterbacks over the weekend. It's Dale and Keith with Fitzy. No Dale today. And Fitzy, 17-3, your final on Saturday night. The Buffalo Bills going back to the AFC Championship game. It has been some time since they have been there. But the Ravens just could get nothing going. Nothing going offensively.
No, nothing. And it wasn't because, it wasn't rather just because of the inclement weather. But that said, that was a stiff breeze. They were trying to get something going in Saturday night. Funny thing is, they run the ball. And the Bills have a lousy rush defense. Like that first drive of the game, the first drive of the game, I want to say that the Ravens basically got it down to, like the 10 or the 15. Like consistently, Gus Edwards, Dobbins were getting like 5, 6, 7 yards. Like they were getting chunk yards.
Yeah,
off
it looked
tackle.
It looked good early, didn't it?
They were great,
just like
early,
running it down, running it, yep, down, and then missed field goal from a guy who you would not expect to miss field goals. By the way, the kickers were bad this weekend.
Terrible.
Whoever it was, you know, Butker, who's supposed to be good, Justin Tucker's supposed to be the best. Mm-hmm. Guys were just missing kicks all over the place. So that completely affected Baltimore. But this game was just kind of a slog. Neither quarterback played well, and Lamar Jackson was bad. Like, he was back to playoff Lamar. I thought maybe he shook that off after last week, got his first win, but he was bad, and the Bills had, you know, all the answers defensively.
And it just proves again with Lamar Jackson, no matter how physically gifted he is, no matter how incredible his highlights are, when the team is forced to throw the ball, when they have to come back, rather the conditions dictate that they have to throw the ball. Once they were down 2 touchdowns, ball game, especially like, okay, it's a momentum killer when you run the ball down their throat the majority of the way down the field, but you stop just short and your legitimately all-time greatest, statistically speaking, kicker misses a 31 yarder. That sucks. Can't give up any points.
Tucker,
there,
who almost never misses a 41 yard attempt. Sam Cook to put it down. Been working together for years. Well, off the upright.
This guy never misses. Thanks, Al. Thanks so much, Al.
That is my dad.
That's great
would
stuff,
say,
Al.
Growing up, my dad would say, like, wow, he really put the Jonah on that guy. I don't know why.
Why? Why? How did that? What's the origin story there?
I have no idea. That's just one of those. That's one of those old dad things. By the way, that was a loud clang off the uprights.
That
too.
Was. Were they mic'd up the goalposts there in Buffalo?
That was
like, we got no fans. Actually, they had some fans. We can mic up the goalposts. Hey,
so
is this
you missed
too
three.
Much? Is this, I think I might have a hot take here. But at the risk of doing a hot take here, might be too hot. It might be too hot for radio. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it out there. You go ahead and throw it right back if you want.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl.
That is a that
you
is
take
a
that back.
Sean,
solid take.
Sean, what do you
take that back.
Sean, okay, all right.
How?
Sean is too close to the situation. He needs to sit this out for a second. Just gather your thoughts for a second, Sean. I think he is in the AFC with a young Patrick Mahomes, a young Josh Allen, a young Baker Mayfield, a young Deshaun Watson, who could get moved, but maybe even to another team in the AFC. Lamar Jackson can't throw. Can't throw.
Did you see the people catching the football in that game? They dropped about 7 passes.
Here we go.
He had no.
They
so
say
first down, he hits it. He hits J.K. Dobbins in the hands.
Who blames his
dropped
tools.
Pass. Screen pass. Dropped pass. Then it's 3 and out. It's 3rd and 10, and you're screwed. It's like the guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Can he pass a little bit better? Yes. Can he improve? Yes. But he also needs
better
guys that aren't Dez freaking Bryant to catch the
football. He'll never win a Super Bowl because his best running years are right now. Yeah, right now. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's a limit to that There's very much a ceiling to that. And he's so electric at running that I think there's going to be a baseline for wins. Like, they're going to win games. The Ravens are going to make the playoffs more often than they won't with him. But you get into a game, and now that – and he didn't even have a great game, but now that Josh Allen's legit, like, it's not just the Chiefs. So it's like, oh, well, hopefully somebody else knocks off the Chiefs, and then, you know, there you are. Because I just – I think that is not a way to win. We talked about it all year with Cam Newton here. Now, Lamar's a much better runner right now than Cam, don't get me wrong, and he's probably a slightly better passer even than Cam. But to this level, he would need the Ravens to have the best defense in the league. Like, that would be his only shot at it. And, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I know he's young, and I hate to be the, hey, look at me take, but that's my look at me take.
Oh, today. No. Rich, add also into your discussion when you said, like, you still have a young Patrick Mahomes. You've got Josh Allen.
The AFC's got all mid-20s quarterbacks.
I don't think they need a top defense, though, in order to compete. I think they need a legitimate number one receiver. They need to do what the Bills did and get a guy like Stephon Diggs. Get a guy like Stephon Diggs on this team, and it changes the complexion of the offense.
What's the matter? You don't like Willie Snead the fourth?
Can't say I do, Rich.
Okay. Well.
What about Miles Boykin? Was it Hollywood Brown's fault that Huntley?
Brown, you should be named Bakersfield Brown, first of all.
Oh, okay. Death Valley
He's
Brown.
Fast.
Exactly.
Oh,
so Sacramento Brown was open by 10 yards when Huntley overthrew him late in the game.
Yeah,
that
but
wasn't
I
his
think
fault.
Lamar Jackson. Like, so if Cam Newton had Stephon Diggs, for example, he's better, but to what end? Like, he's not throwing 40 touchdowns or 30 touchdowns.
I mean, Lamar Jackson just threw 36 touchdowns last year. So he has the ability to do it.
That's when they caught the entire league off guard.
He doesn't need to throw for 36 touchdowns every year. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but why did he have...
If he can throw for 30 because he has a guy like Stephon Diggs, he is...
Yeah, but he didn't have Stephon Diggs when he threw 36 touchdowns. And he threw for 3,100 yards.
Yeah.
And then this year, he threw for 2,700 yards. He played 15 games and threw under 3,000 yards.
Still ran for over 1,000 yards, Rich. He's had 1,005 yards, they said, in his road record.
Back-to-back years, he's over 1,000 yards. No, why I think you're going to beat plenty of bad teams. You're going to be a tough team to stop because, you know, I think J.K. Dobbins is a good running back. They use the Gus Bus when they need him. And Mark Andrews, although I don't know about Mark Andrews. Last year, he was a lot better than he was this year. But either way, I think the AFC is too good, and I think he's always going to be a letdown.
I have a follow-up hot take that I want to join you with on this, Rich. I kind of want to piggyback.
Get in here.
However, I need to
ask Monday. Real
quick, a hot take semi-holiday Monday. John, did you spill something in the studio for everyone who's watching at home? Like,
John,
what are you doing?
He does this every day.
So what in the holy hell is good? I know everyone in the car like, oh, great, Fitzy, bring up something we can't see because we're listening to a radio show. But there is a whole disaster going
on.
Yeah, if you're watching on Twitch, you watch Josh spill coffee everywhere.
My name's John. We've worked together for 3 years.
John.
Doesn't know my name.
I was reading Josh Allen, and it just came out. That's why.
Josh. All right, Robin Sully will be back.
I honestly thought it got picked up on Shime's mic. It was so loud. My metallic coffee thing. It was when my arms flew over to fire the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme. I
so
knocked it all over
that.
The keyboard, all over my crotch, all over the floor. By the way, no running water in the building right now, so it's kind of hard to go clean myself.
Oh, that's a nice feature.
Did
they turn the water off on us? Are they still sending a message?
All right, so right now our technical director, Eamon, is zooming in on the fact that there is legitimately a, like, diaper service of paper towels on the
floor. It is a lock, an absolute lock, that once a week this happens to John. Once a week. Every week.
Why do you have
fail.
A car? There's $50,000 of state-of-the-art radio equipment in the studio. Why do you have an iced coffee near
I don't put it on the board. It's these little crappy keyboards that we have like
Here
a million
go.
Of these. These are not this is not state-of-the-art.
This is
like
the
Windows,
fact that
this
has this never
is Windows 95.
No.
Shime, is he wearing flood pants too?
Yes.
I'm wearing
he's
joggers.
He's wearing the Fitzy
It's a holiday show.
He's
joggers.
A lot of stuff, so he wanted to make
joggers
sure
with a polo, guys.
Wet.
Come on.
He hiked them up. That's a bad scene in there.
I'm sorry.
That's
why
there's supposed to be no liquid in there, I believe.
That's not true.
I think I...
Okay, well then every single person who works here violates that rule.
I just want to point out the fact that I have had many, many a drinks in here. Right. I've never spilled anything. And I'm as clumsy as they come.
Yeah, I take back the fact that I gave you Baby Yoda socks and a 4-pack of IPA for Christmas. I should have just given you a sippy cup, you child.
There is a cover on it, but it was just open. I spilled it everywhere.
Well, so if we get knocked off the air, you'll know why. So John's coffee.
I know, I have to it's email been fun. The people who make our on-air log, I have to email them like once a week saying, yep, I spilled coffee all over the log again. If you could reprint half of it and bring it down.
You spilled coffee all over the log? John.
Yep.
I'm telling you, this happens every week.
It's what a problem.
An absolute disaster.
It's become a problem.
All right. Well, the point
Sean
I was
didn't even spill when I said that Lamar Jackson won't win a Super Bowl ever.
Nope, didn't spit anything out. You know what? I swallowed what was in my mouth and I finished it.
He became more focused. He showed his professionalism, unlike some of us over there.
Correct.
But I didn't explain anything.
Even before Lamar Jackson left with an injury, as soon as it was, 10-3? It's certainly when it was 17-3. You're like, it's over.
Well, like, when it was 17-3. Because
17-3 for sure.
Especially like, after those two missed field goals. That was brutal. So that could have changed the complexion of the game completely.
No, that's crazy that he, of all guys, missed. Like, what happened? Is he done now? What happened to him?
No, he's fine.
Best kicker in the world.
Just, I guess it's just windy. When the flags on top of the field goal posts are going in opposite directions, I understand missing one.
I was pissed there was no snow. Yes. I was hoping for a nice snow game.
That would have been
statistically, he's still the greatest kicker or most accurate kicker in NFL history. But if you remember how bad it can be up there and what it does to kicking, the final game of the 2008 season, which the Patriots beat the Bills 16-0, I want to say, was all. I think Matt Cassel might have attempted 5 passes that day. It was like Sammy Morris and Zach Crockett. They didn't try any field goals because you couldn't.
Yeah.
You could absolutely do. I don't believe they tried any field goals because you just couldn't kick the ball at all. It was a disaster. But that's what happens. Speaking of disasters, John Anderson, everybody. But you don't recover. And I would love to know statistically, in games where there are 100-yard or longer pick sixes, like, I can't imagine any team that's ever given up 100-yard or greater pick six has ever won that game. Like, you know how when you get called for holding?
John doesn't believe in momentum. John's anti-momentum.
What was the take?
My take is this.
That's my fault, gang. I shouldn't have.
You said his name, Keith. You said
you're right. You're right.
I love the fact that the studio is so covered in coffee now, you're forced to stand like you're stretching out so you want someone to notice you.
Oh, no, I'm just standing like this. This has nothing to do with the coffee.
Okay.
What are you taking a lead off first base? What are you doing?
He's flexing for the Twitch campus.
So, John, my take is this. In a game where a team doesn't give up, but rather gives
the team that gets a 100-yard pick six. What's the chance that they win? What's the percentage?
Do you know
it's
what?
Zero.
I don't know the percentage right off the bat, but as far as statistics that correlate to wins and losses, return TDs is just below interception or turnover differential. So it has more to do with that than it does some phony phantom thing you make up momentum.
Like momentum. Okay, so turnover differential is the biggest, and then right beneath that is
Early down
scores.
Success rate is technically a percent below turnover differential, but then below that is return TDs. Interceptions
okay.
or...
So I would like to hazard a guess, Rich, that no team, or I can't imagine any time recently, especially in the playoffs, any team that has ever given up 100-yard or longer pick six can win that game. Like,
well, they said
when you're going
in
to tie
the
game
was George Teague, right? Didn't they say that like in 93 or 94 George Teague had that, and I don't think he used it with the Cowboys. I think on the broadcast they said when he was with the Packers, so we can look that one up. I'm sure you could join the program at 617-779-7937. We'll get into who had the best weekend and who had the worst weekend. I think we kind of hit on one of the guys that may have had the worst weekend, but we'll get to all that. We'll also get to the latest on Deshaun Watson. It is Dale and Keith with Fitzy. No Dale today. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keith every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Especialista arranca la jugada Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson suelta ese balón por el medio. Intercepción. Intercepción por los Buffalo Bills. Y se lo está llevando. Se lo está llevando toda la cancha. Se lo está llevando ahí el número 24. Llega a la 40, a la 30, a la 20, a la 10. Touchdown de parte de los Buffalo Bills.
That's how the pick six sounded in Spanish for the Buffalo Bills on Saturday night as they beat the Ravens 17-3. We'll get into who had the best weekend, who had the worst weekend. But Fitzy, you were going to say something important, and then John spilled his coffee, so you got distracted?
No. He brought up that I spilled his coffee. That's why he didn't say that.
All right. Calm down, John.
It was just a John, just out of nowhere, like a giant pile of towels appeared beneath you. I needed to know what the hell was going on. It was just, was everyone okay?
It could be distracting. It could be distracting.
Yes, okay.
But you had something.
Yeah, so based off of what you were saying, Rich, about how you don't believe your sort of high noon or your 1040 hot take.
My high noon was somewhere that, hot take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lamar Jackson.
And I'm here for it. I second
never
that
win
emotion.
A Super Bowl.
Love it. No, I don't believe Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl either. And Shime got his feathers all in a bunch because his feathers were ruffled because you said that about his guy.
Correct.
And he said he needs a Stephon Diggs type. So what I was going to follow your high noon hot take with was, I bet the Baltimore Ravens will be the highest bidder for Allen Robinson in the wide receiver market this year because Shime's got a great point. They absolutely need a number one, and I bet they throw a pile of money at Allen Robinson because they figure that's exactly what Lamar Jackson needs.
But I don't know if that – I thought, like, last year when he won the MVP, didn't we all say that team is built perfectly for him? You have the running backs, you have the tight end, you have the little pistol offense that you run all the time. I don't think a great receiver is necessarily going to make him into this great thrower of the football.
It helped with Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen, I don't think we ever thought was just strictly a running back.
No, but at the same time, it helped with his passing game tremendously.
But he also, Brian Daboll helped tremendously too. Is Greg Roman still going to be there? And if so, are they going to all of a sudden just sling it? Or are they just going to run it like that still?
Well, I don't think they need to sling it. Well, they just need a guy who you, when it's third
Allen
and
Robinson
seven.
Allen Robinson would like you to sling it. I don't
when
think
it's
he
third
wants to
and
go
seven,
somewhere.
He needs a guy that's going to get open and catch the football.
Okay. And I don't think he'll be able to hit him consistently. That'd be my take on Lamar Jackson, who I think had the worst weekend. I think so. And I know his team was an underdog. And he had gotten the win last week, and that was a big deal for him. But because he went back to just nothing, and fine, there were drops, whatever. But still, that was a huge letdown for him. I also think it's a sneaky win overall for people like myself who love number one wide receivers, which we were talking about. Because you could say, besides Jerry Rice and Michael Irvin, there haven't been a lot of slam dunk Hall of Fame receivers that have been on a Super Bowl winning team. Right, like you go back into the history of it, this, unfortunately, not the case. Now, look at the conference championship matchups. You're going to have Stephon Diggs versus Tyreek Hill in one matchup, and then you're going to have Davante Adams versus Evans, Godwin, and Brown. So one of these teams that wins the Super Bowl, you can say has a legitimate number one all-pro wide receiver.
And it was that legitimate number one all-pro wide receiver who, with all due respect to the game's MVP last year, I don't even think Mahomes should have gotten it. I think the running back should have gotten it. But it was that elite number one receiver who changed the game by getting open on 3rd and 14 when the Chiefs had been so offensively inept for 3.5 quarters. So they do make a massive difference. Mike Evans was basically stymied all night, to use your word earlier, by Marshawn Lattimore, who always shuts him down. But when he needed to make a 1 yard touchdown catch, he made the 1 yard touchdown catch.
Right. Who else do you think, if who had a great weekend? Like who looked the best? And not even necessarily who played the best, but just, you know, getting a win, who do you think it was the most important for? I mean, obviously Brady's up there at the top of that list.
Honestly, you know who I was really impressed with this weekend, even though he didn't get a win, was Baker Mayfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think he seemed poised. He didn't make – well, he had the one pick, but he didn't fall apart. And I was really hoping if they could have made one last stop just to see what would have happened. Give him the ball with a chance to move down the field. I think that would have been great theater, but the Chiefs – found a way to pick up those first downs with Chad Henne and some kind of unorthodox play calling, which Tony Romo did not see coming, and they salted the game away. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, again, okay, there's a good example. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield both lost, but I would feel better going forward in the future of my team with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback.
100%. If I was given a chance to choose between the two right now, not just for the Patriots, but just like you're starting a team, you can either have Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield. You don't even have to finish a sentence. I would say Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I would probably say it like Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Because he can sling it.
He looked great.
Got
Mayfield. The crossbody stare down of Jarvis Landry that led to the pick, which ultimately didn't hurt them because Butker surprisingly missed the kick, should have hurt them, and that was a bad play. But otherwise, he moved well. He ran for a couple first downs, had a couple sneaks up the gut on fourth down. The play that bothered me the most, obviously, was Sorensen almost knocking out Higgins and the ball going back to the Chiefs,
yeah,
like, which again is
swing
the most.
Is.
Yeah, the who looks the worst this weekend? The refs in the NFL for missing that. There was a ref who was literally at the goal line staring at that. How did you not see the man launch himself like a missile and use his helmet to knock the guy out? But I thought Mayfield looked terrific. I'm still bothered by the fact that, and I don't know where this ranks on this new statistical spectrum, the surrender index. I hate the fact that Stefanski punted from his own 36-yard line, fourth and one. You're playing the Chiefs. Don't give them the ball back. Don't give them the ball. They might. Andy Reid is one of the greatest play callers in NFL history.
Until he runs a little speed option with Patrick Mahomes. I hated that play call.
Sure.
And not just because he got hurt. I was just like, what is that? Like, you're going to maybe get the first down, which was like they needed like a yard. But then, I don't know. Like, it's not Lamar Jackson. Like, I know he's mobile, but he's not Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson. I'm not running that play with Patrick Mahomes.
No, was not a great
idea. Throw it to Kelsey or Hill. Nobody can cover Hill in a 3-yard window.
Travis Kelsey might be the most uncoverable human being on the planet.
He's killing it.
He's unbelievable.
On third down, the man is virtually uncovered. He's always open over the middle. I don't understand how, Shy.
Put a safety on him, he gets open. Put a linebacker on him, he gets open. It doesn't matter. He's open. He gets 100 yards a game every single week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But do you mention him in the same breath in terms of like all-time great tight ends or great tight ends
with a
Gronk? Because thank you very much. He is
I think you should include him in the top five receivers in the NFL, but I don't see him necessarily as the greatest tight end in football history.
Yeah, I think I would put Gronk much better than him for his career, but I think even if you are just a pass-catching tight end, if the numbers are so extreme, I'll include you. Like, Antonio Gates didn't block a lot of people, but his receiving numbers were so good. It's so off the charts, and all the touchdowns and everything else that I'll put you on there. But if it's – you got to be blowing everybody else out of the water to even be considered. No, Gronk and Kittle are the tight ends that you want. Like, they'll help you in the run game. They'll also catch touchdowns and first downs and everything else.
But if technically at that position, though, like we just said, like who would you take, Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson? Yeah. We both agreed it would be Mayfield. If you had a chance to, like, if somebody said, okay, pick a tight end, Kelsey or Kittle, who would you take?
Kittle.
I'd have to think.
I would take George Kittle.
But Shime's right. Kelsey is open on every freaking play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when Kittle's healthy, so is he.
Yeah. And I mean, it probably helps that you also have Tyreek Hill. So, like, you can't just hard focus on one guy. Because if you double one, the other one's single covered and you're screwed.
Yeah, I'd probably go Kittle too, just because his beast mode might be
I think it's off the charts.
Yeah, I do. The man's an absolute animal.
All right, get your reaction to the divisional round weekend. Tom Brady moving on. Patrick Mahomes got hurt, but he's moving on. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, they're all moving on to the conference championship game. But we have an update on the Deshaun Watson situation. Could the Texans actually trade their elite quarterback? We'll get into all that coming up next here on WEEI.